Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. I know I fully stocked it up, made sure I want to get through the rest of the month. I've got Memorial Day coming up, and we just had a couple of parties, obviously. And soft drinks, snacks, wide array, water. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. The pickle bar is second to none. Snacked on a couple of barrel and dill pickles on the way home last Wednesday. Stores laid out in such a way it's really easy to get around. Plenty of help to direct you where you need to go. And not only that, plenty of help to get the cases to the car. Plenty of free parking, too. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Year 101. Big Ford sale going on right now as well. Ask them about it at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. The Phillies are hot. They're 20-15 on the year. They took two out of three from the Braves last night in the 10th inning. With Scott Fransky on the call on WKOK, Cameron Rupp comes through.
The pitch. Swung on. Line to left center field. It's a base hit towards the alley. One run home. Two runs will score. Galvis coming around third. They'll wave him to the plate. It's a bases clearing double for Cameron Rupp, and the Phillies lead it 7-4 here in the 10th.
And that was your final last night. The Phillies beat the Braves 7-4 and took care of business. Took two out of three. Home with the Reds tonight at 7:05, 6:30 the airtime. Right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. It's been a fun ride for 35 games so far. Without doubt, a fun ride. All right, let's get into a little Penn State football here. Big story that dominated off the top, satellite camps. And, of course, at one point, a couple years ago, or a year ago, Penn State had its satellite camp down in Georgia. The kicking game is going to be impacted, I think, in part because of that satellite camp. Well, the NCAA then pulled out of satellite camps and said, no, can't do this. And then there was a hue and cry from certain parts. Twitter, I think, helped drive this. And the NCAA backed off. Now they're all over the map. They are all over the map. And Penn State's going to be participating in several of these satellite camps during the course of the next few weeks. I don't mean just a couple of them. I mean, they're going to be all over the place. And you have to. This is just the way things are today. The way things are today is you have to be there. And if you're not there, somebody else will be. And it's just part of what's going on. And I mean, there are days and days in here where Penn State is loaded with satellite camps. Beyond, of course, then they've got their future camp. Penn State's got an elite camp. They've got 7-on-7 big man camp. Then they have the invite camp, the lash bash eventually, and then the specialist in the league camps. I mean, they got just a, but you have to do this. The dead period does not begin in college football until June 27th. That's when the dead period starts, and the dead period then ends on Sunday, July 10th. But this is the way, I mean, and you have to do it these days. You don't really have a choice in this ball game. You can't sit it out. Jim Harbaugh, for example, now has a satellite camp he's going to do in Australia. You're like, and people are saying, Australia? Well, it's not as if there haven't been kickers out of Australia. And I'm not talking about just Danny Pascarillo. I mean, Brad Craddock, who was won the Lou Groza Award a year ago at Maryland, he's an Australian kicker. Timmy Gleason, who's the punter now at Rutgers, they just got him out of Wyoming. Same thing with him. He's Australian. So Jim Harbaugh is going to do a satellite camp in Australia. And that just puts the heat on across the board. I mean, it puts a lot of heat on across the board. You've got to be there. I know Urban Meyer's gone. I think Rutgers and Ohio State are doing well, but this is that. I mean, this is all part of recruiting. And the one area that, when you look at it, it's very similar. And I've talked about this many times before. It just gives you that AAU feeling. And the we've had a lot of discussion on here about AAU.
Audrey Snyder from DK Pittsburgh Sports brought up a great point when we had her on the show here on Wednesday when we were talking about satellite camps, just with the fact that it can help ease the financial burden of the families that want to scope out these colleges. It's kind of like the colleges going to them in a way.
And that, you know, and that's where I mentioned the punter out of Georgia who's coming here. I mean, that's a product out of a satellite camp. Well, I mean, Penn State went down there to them. So this does ease up that burden somewhat. I mean, there's any doubt about that. There's still something to me about the ability to get players onto your campus and at your camp where they see your campus, your facility, your players, how you go about doing your business in your environment that I think does make a difference. But that's not how, I mean, but you have to play, quote, the game. You have to play the, if you don't play the game, you're going to get passed out. So these are the rules. So under these rules, this is what you have to do. And it's not easy. It's not easy. Penn State will go into this season with 81 scholarship players. Now, could they have had 85? Yeah, they could have had 85, but you don't take four for the sake of taking four. So they're not undermanned this year on the scholarship number. Yeah, it's 81, but that's, okay? There are very few schools in the country that are at 85. And so that's where Penn State is in this. And so moving, and you got to move forward with it. The roster only has, 11? This roster has 11 seniors on it. 11 seniors, 15 redshirt juniors. Let's see here. Let me see the numbers here. 15 that fall into the junior. No, you got 11 seniors, 15 juniors, 20 sophomores, 17 redshirt freshmen, and then obviously 18 true freshmen. That's the breakdown in this roster. There's only 11 seniors. Trace McSorley did a heck of a job in the blue-white game. We saw that. Trace was like that, I think, I would say 80% of the time in practice he was like that. Tommy Stevens really did a great job in practice. The blue-white game, okay. But that's only the blue-white game. You're loaded at wide receiver. You finally have the numbers on the offensive line. I think it's going to be a pretty good battle there between Paris Palmer and Noah Bay as to who ends up being the right tackle there. They've made some moves. I mean, Kevin Givens, the move of him from defensive end to defensive tackle, of course you have to see it in the game, but now that is something that I think that's a really rock-solid move. Kevin's built pretty low to the ground. He has some natural leverage. He has defensive end quickness, but he does a great job with his pad level. Curtis Cothran, as time went, did a better job with his pad level. He's fine, too, in terms of the weight he needs to get himself to the defensive tackle spot. And, of course, the guy you didn't see in all this was Parker Cothran, who had to sit out the spring. So they'll have some depth at the defensive tackle spot, and they're going to be pretty good at end. End is going to I don't really see end as being, if they stay healthy, I don't see defensive end as being a problem. Schwann had a great spring. Evan Schwann did not have a good spring. He had a great spring. Garrett Sickles had a really good spring. Torrance Brown, especially the second half, really good spring. Then you got Ryan Buchholz and a guy that I know they're high on in Sharif Miller. I mean, this is what, you're developing something here along the way. And I thought Golden and Allen did a great job at the safety spots and with Apke and Farmer behind them. And that doesn't even include, Aaron Monroe. You didn't see Aaron Monroe in the spring game. Early on, he was doing some really good things. Really good things. And Troy Miller out of just across the river from where I grew up in Suffield, Connecticut. Just seen a look in his face where I told him, I said, you know where I grew up? He says, where? I said, Enfield. He goes, you're kidding me? Till he got a little banged up, he was doing really well. I mean, believe me, they've got some guys that you have not seen yet as fans that can play. And guys that can play. So, I think it's an interesting time for them. They're in an incredibly tough division, obviously. We ran through the schedule yesterday. It's one thing about in scheduling. There is always a perception of how difficult your schedule is based on your non-conference games. Because that's the variable. But when you look at Penn State's conference schedule, home with Ohio State, home with Michigan State, at Michigan. So that's the division, and then home with Maryland. So that's your division. But then your crossover is Iowa at home. And then Minnesota's an interesting team as well. That's also on your schedule. And then your non-conference, Temple and Pitt, to go with Kent State. I've always found this in basketball where it's always been interesting. Where you have nearly two-thirds of your schedule is Michigan State, Maryland, Ohio State, Indiana. Illinois, you know, you go Wisconsin, Iowa. That's two-thirds of your schedule. They play a lousy schedule. What? Yeah, I'm playing by in the non-conference. Yeah, but they play Michigan State twice, Ohio State, Iowa twice, Indiana. I always laugh at that. Well, this year the non-conference schedule is going to include Duke. Some of you may have heard of that one. You're the guy with the long name.
You heard they're pretty good.
Well, it's interesting because Joe Hampton's going to start class tomorrow here at Penn State. Well, he'll start class on Monday, but he'll enroll here tomorrow. And, of course, Josh Reeves is here. Now, Joe's teammate at Oak Hill was Harry Giles. And Harry's the number one recruit in the country. He went to Duke. So that's what, you know. And then regardless, you'll play either Cincinnati or Rhode Island. So you're going to get two really good games there. You got Pitt. Kevin Stallings' first year. That'll be at the Prudential Center up at the Rock in Newark. You're at George Washington, the NIT champion. And then they still haven't announced yet what the I would think it's going to be next week. I think it's next week. They'll announce who the opponent is in the ACC Challenge. So, I mean, I said the best schedule I've seen them have non-conference since 2000-2001. But it's interesting how non-conference schedules, because I think because it is the variable, gets more scrutiny from fans. They almost seem to forget about the conference schedule as to how tough your schedule is. I'm like, well, okay, well, wait a minute. You got to play this team, this team, this team. Yeah, but the non-conference schedule stinks. Okay. Conference schedule is 75% of your schedule now. Now, do I think one game in the non-conference schedule, and idealistically I like to see it be the second game, because I'd like to get a game first then. That second game to me is the valuable non-conference game. That's the one that is your RPI game. That's the one where you make your early season statement game. That second one. That's the one you can be home and away with in some two-year series. I know some people want to play Pitt every year. To me, that while I see why someone would argue it, my argument would be, look, I'd like to spread the wealth a little bit. I'd still like to keep the door open to Notre Dame. I want to keep the door open to Virginia Tech. I want to keep the door open to Miami. I want to keep the door open to Texas. I want to keep the door open to USC. You know, those home and aways over two-year periods, you know, and not just be locked into that game the way Iowa's locked into Iowa State every year. We'll come back with more in a moment, but if your thoughts are different, like to hear it at 1-800-795-9565 on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Got to give the Pirates a lot of credit. Tone setter at Wrigley Field. They've come surging back. They're down 8-2. All right. Phillies will take on the Reds tonight. The Penguins open their series tonight with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Looks like they're going to keep Murray in goal there for Pittsburgh.
They should. Now, there's no need to change. I mean, look, he's been the guy. You go to him. You go to him until he has an Elliott moment, like he did in Game 6 for St. Louis, or eventually last night in Game 7. I mean, they finally, Peter Laviolette finally pulled Pecorine. It was 5-0 at that point. I mean, I think you do that until he does that. Until that happens. It's Tampa Bay tonight. That game's in Pittsburgh, by the way. The 7 o'clock start tonight on NBC Sports Net. Toronto's at Miami tonight. That's game 6. Toronto up 3-2. And the Phillies, of course, and the Reds tonight. 6:30 the airtime on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We're brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
True refreshment can come in many forms. But it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, water, soda, wine coolers, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar is second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kierwitz 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Okay. Jerry Jones has done a brilliant job in his lifetime. We get to the sports bozo of the day. He's done a brilliant job in his lifetime of understanding how to run a business, how to make money, and he has, without question, one of the top brands in all of sports in the Dallas Cowboys. His stadium is unbelievable. But do you really need to tell somebody else how to run their business? According to this report on Bleacher Report put out by Mike Freeman, Cowboys owner Jerry Jones reportedly has been pushing Raiders owner Mark Davis to sell the team for years. Why? It's none of your business. It's their team. It's like telling you don't sign Greg Hardy. What do you want Mark Davis to do? Don't sign Greg Hardy. I don't think it would be great. Oh, wait, he didn't. And that is correct. It was not great. Jones said earlier this week he supported the NFL putting a team in Las Vegas where the Raiders have been lobbying to relocate, but only if the team was headed by the right ownership. Jones reportedly feels that Davis is not capable of maximizing revenues or creating value for the league. Raiders have been pushing toward relocation to Las Vegas, with Davis pledging $500 million toward the construction. Some of that is in the loan package that the NFL puts together. Construction will be $1.4 billion. They did have a meeting recently with the Nevada Tourism Committee. Las Vegas Mayor Carolyn Goodman also supports the Raiders' move to that city, saying that this week that the Raiders will relocate in the state of Nevada if the state of Nevada handles business proceedings properly. Now, I understand that if you are concerned about what you perceive to be incompetent ownership in a partnership, sports is different. You do have 32 individual owners, but they are all in one business. Because the business is football. And the name of the business is the National Football League. You and I can sit there and we could sit down with 12 other people and we could form our own football league to attempt to compete with them in the business of football. Now, what would our odds be of succeeding? Obviously, they'd be extremely slim. The NFL has an exponential head start. They have every network tied up. Have radio tied up, they own the marketplace in the business of football. At the moment, they are the monopoly in the business of professional football. I'm not saying that critically. I'm saying that as a matter of fact. Who's competing with them in the business of football? Nobody is. So if nobody's competing with you, you have a monopoly over it. But we could, you, me, yes, you right, yep, you in the car right there on 11 and 15. Yes, I'm talking to you. Yes, you and I could sit there and we could go into partnership and we could start our own football league to compete against them. So that is the business is football. The name of the company is the National Football League, but they have 32 separate owned divisions within the company. Now, that's not dissimilar to example for like a Wendy's franchise or a McDonald's franchise. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that a lot of those are locally owned and operated. They have to pay franchise fees and so forth, but still, many of them are locally owned and operated. Well, that's what you have here, local ownership and operation. The Mara family has been involved in the New York Giants franchise since 1925. Now they have half the franchise. Tisch family has the other half. The Rooneys have been involved since 1933, all the way up to now. Various owners of the Philadelphia Eagles, from Leonard Toews, now all the way up to Lurie. And, of course, Clint Murchison owned the Cowboys, and then it was Bum Bright, and now it's Jerry Jones. Where are the Raiders not maximizing in the league? Well, the Raiders are not maximizing in the league because they can't get the city of Oakland to build a stadium or renovate a stadium that would allow them to maximize revenue. Is it the city of Oakland's obligation to do that? No, it's not their obligation. They have to make a decision based on their budget needs, how you fund it, and so forth. I think, you know, my personal opinion, pro football teams are extremely beneficial to an area. They're beneficial to an area jobs-wise. They're beneficial to an area restaurant-wise, hotel-wise, tourism-wise, and also name-wise. When you have a professional sports team in your market, it gives the perception, I'm only talking perception now, perception of being major league. Doesn't mean it's real or not, but there's a perception. Hartford for two decades had the Whalers. And Hartford had a perception, well, you know, the other team in the NHL, I mean, you know, everybody could kind of see the name Hartford up there all the time. I mean, do you think much about Hartford now? No. Now they're down in Carolina. When teams move, it leaves a void. There's no question. It does leave a void. We just had Jordan Hill on the previous hour. Seattle has felt a void as a sports community of not having the Sonics ever since they moved to Oklahoma City. They've been trying to get a franchise back, and they thought 2 years ago they had the Sacramento Kings. They thought they had them. In fact, Steve Ballmer, who now owns the L.A. Clippers, bought them for $2 billion. He was the one that was going to bring the Kings to Seattle. And then Kevin Johnson, the former Suns point guard, now Sacramento mayor, stepped in and they forged an agreement to keep the Kings in Sacramento. So Seattle has not had NBA basketball ever since Kevin Durant and company left to go to Oklahoma City. And Seattle was a wild and crazy basketball community for a long period of time. Games where they drew 40,000 in the Kingdome were not uncommon in the 70s and the 80s. Over time, though, they started playing in Key Arena, which is probably more reasonable. Kingdome no longer exists. And they're still looking to get an expansion team. But they do feel the void. I mean, you sit there, if you sit there and you Google or Bing or whatever search engine you want to use, Seattle NBA expansion, there are a lot of stories all the time out there about Seattle wanting an NBA team, that it fills a void. There have been a lot of talk about them going after an NHL team. And this is, I mean, because there's a void. So teams do that. And Oakland, for example, that, but again, you don't have an obligation as a city to just bend over backwards to get a team or to keep a team. You don't, I mean, your obligation happens to be to your voters. Is there a way to do it where you still make sure your roads are in great shape, that your police force is in great shape, your fire department's in great shape, your EMS is in great shape, things like that? Yeah. Water service across the board, yeah. You have to have your priorities in place. But as a business, getting an NFL team or an NBA or a Major League Baseball team or even an NHL team does bring with it a domino effect. The domino effect is that you need people to work at the stadium. You need people to care for the stadium. Businesses crop up all around the stadium. Restaurants, hotels, which all, of course, have to hire people. And then there's also that image thing where your name is out there as a city. But to have another NFL, I mean, that, so now you're going to talk about Mark Davis. How does one maximize the Raiders? They thought they had it with the deal in Carson, California when it came to the Chargers. They're going to combine forces, go to Carson. They thought when they went into the NBA at the NFL meetings that they would get the 24 votes, and they were clearly in front until Stan Kroenke laid it all out for them as to what they were going to do in Inglewood. Build a stadium. Move one team in there. Keep the option open for a second team. That second team is the Chargers. But the Chargers are trying to stay in San Diego. And build a campus where you can put NFL Network, where you can put NFL.com. And he put together the wow factor that blew the NFL away, and boom, he got 30 votes. So now the Raiders have to sit there and have to ask themselves, what do we do next? Las Vegas, for those of you who have been out there, you do understand that it feels in some ways like a real extended suburb of Los Angeles, even though it's still hours away. And having an NFL team, which plays 8 home games, and maybe 2 in the preseason, so 10, is a completely different proposition than an NBA or an NHL team. Now, the NBA is not thinking of expanding to Las Vegas. They hold their summer league in Las Vegas. They hold their meetings in Las Vegas, all done in the month of July, and the NBA is extremely content with that arrangement. The NHL, between the end of the Stanley Cup and the entry draft, they'll make an announcement on expansion as to whether they're going to put a team there. Putting an NFL team in there is a little bit different fan-wise than it is an NHL team. An NHL team, you're talking about having, in the regular season, 41 dates. And of the 41 dates, probably 37 of them are at night, maybe 36. And Las Vegas, obviously, while having a lot of people working in the day, because casinos are open all day, get their heaviest business at night. And so the workforce, a percentage of it, is working at night. With an NFL team, it's once a week, and it's 10 games. It's workable. We're talking about a $1.4 billion stadium. And it's an untapped market. Is it the largest market they could possibly go to? No. I mean, if they went to San Antonio, for example, it would be a larger market. but Las Vegas and the state itself untapped from professional sports. That would then allow them to, quote, maximize on behalf of the league. But maximizing on behalf of the league, it's already a $9 billion industry. I know the stated goal of Roger Goodell is to get it to be a $25 billion a year industry. That's why they're going to play a game in China. That's why they continue to play games in London. But back to the original point, he thinks that that Mark Davis should sell the team. Really? Okay. No offense, but you just picked fourth. I think you should worry about your team. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK as we wrap up the week. Brought to you by Brewers
Outlet. Putting the beach within your reach with the Summer's On Us sales event at St. Mary Motors Kia. The month of May, buy any in-stock 2016 Optima, Optima Hybrid, Forte, or Soul, and pay nothing for the summer. That's right, nada, zilch, nothing. In fact, your first payment won't be due until October. With Kia taking care of your first two payments and 90 days deferred payments, you get up to 5 months before your first payment is due.
But that's not all.
You'll also get 0% financing for up to 66 months. And with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, we're talking a worry-free ride to your vacation destination and no payments to make. The beach is in your reach with the Summer's On Us sales event at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com. SMC, selling more cars and sticking more cash in your vacation fund for over 100 years.
Tax extra. 0% APR financing to all qualified customers through KMF. Restrictions apply. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
By the way, the Seattle City Council did vote 5-4 last week against something they needed for the arena. And Chris Hansen, who's trying to get an expansion team up there, called it a setback. Now, they've got another year and a half to try and see if they can do something, but that was considered to be a setback. All right. Headed into the weekend. We never did mention this was Friday the 13th, but I figured after the announcement that started the show today that really set us back.
I take full responsibility for that.
what were you thinking?
I know. Yeah.
What, just because he has a suit, okay, you know, for example, like Drew comes up to you and makes a suggestion. If I'm you, I'm all ears. Roger comes up, makes a suggestion. I suggest you shut the door and you're all ears. Okay? The guy in charge of digital media makes a suggestion. Move on.
Run.
I mean, here's a guy, as Jennifer Wakeman drove the new Phillies WKOK vehicle around the parking lot, filmed it to pretend that he was looking at qualifying. I mean, come on. Hey, I can't believe you listened to it.
I know.
They're going to be racing at Watkins Glen. That's a million miles away. You might as well say they're racing in Dubai. It's awfully difficult for these guys. I mean, you know, you do realize that up at Watkins Glen, there are some right turns. Okay.
But it's not an oval. I'm just surprised that there wasn't any IndyCar racing up there for several years. Just the way the course is laid out. This was something more challenging.
You want challenging? Okay. Drive on 128 outside of Boston. Now, that's a driving challenge. Okay. How about the Garden State Parkway? Now, that's the Schuylkill Expressway. Now, a driving challenge. Okay.
Long Island Schuylkill Expressway, too, from what I hear.
LIE, absolutely. Okay. The 101 in Los Angeles, I-5. Okay? I'll give you all sorts of beltway. All sorts of challenges. Okay? Watkins Glen? Eh. Challenging. Eh. Trying to Schuylkill, buddy. Impress me.
Some, I would think today, your average Friday traffic even more kind of compounded with the construction going on today on the Veterans Memorial Bridge going in and out of Sunbury. So some would even think that's a little bit of a challenge. That would be the challenge. It'll be 2 weeks from today on getaway day heading into the holiday weekend. That'll get some people stressed out.
I know. And it will. But there'll be a three-day weekend. You'll be able to kick back and enjoy.
Quite a few coming in to Selwyn's Grove this weekend for Susquehanna University graduation.
Yes. Yes. Congratulations, by the way, to all the graduates.
And Bucknell will be next weekend.
Congratulations on that as well. Bucknell degree has some real punch behind it. So is a Susquehanna degree. It's great.
The head of CBS, Les Moonves, is actually going to be the speaker at Bucknell next weekend.
Yes, I heard that. That's terrific. And you want to know why I know that? Because the guy that's in charge of digital media is going to be camped out with his resume. No, I'm just kidding.
It's going to be right there by the Bucknell sign on Route 15 waiting for Les to show up.
I just want to tell you, I love Julie Chen on the afternoon show. Which is Les Moonves' wife. Just so you know. You ever see her on Big Brother? That's Les's wife.
Yep, her.
It's Kevin. I love her. She's great. As the motorcade speeds by. What, did you have some sort of weak moment?
I'm just glad it happened today and not on Monday, and now we can just cruise into the weekend. So,
yeah, but I'm just, couldn't it have happened on Saturday, then maybe you forget it?
Right.
Well, one thing we can't forget about doing is making that stop at Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the weekend. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Have a great, safe weekend. We can't wait to talk to you on Monday. Phillies tonight at 7:30.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.